Radio Times. I'm Artie Moscoane. The United States is a religious country. According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, almost 80% of the country calls themselves Christian, with almost 5% of the country following Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, among other religions. 16% of the country are unaffiliated. A new report by the Pew Forum found that there is a great deal of movement between religions in the United States. A good percentage of the public has left the faith of their childhood, with Catholicism experiencing the greatest loss. Those numbers are made up by the number of Catholic immigrants coming into the country. Today on Radio Times, we're going to talk about this dynamic religious landscape in the country. And we want to hear from you if your religious beliefs and affiliations have changed or not changed. And the lines are open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Greg Smith is with us. He's a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. He's one of the principal authors of the Forum's latest U.S. Religious Landscape Survey that was released earlier this week. And Greg Smith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You know what is so striking, and this is, I think, been the news about this survey, is just how much movement there is in and out of religions, between religions in this country. Did that surprise you?
Well, I think that was certainly the most striking finding from our survey. If you look just at movement across traditions, that is, for instance, movement between Protestantism and Catholicism, or Catholicism and being unaffiliated with any particular religion. If you look just at that most basic kind of movement, we find that more than one quarter of adults have a religious affiliation today that's different than their religious affiliation as children. If you add to that movement within Protestantism, for instance, from being Baptist to Methodist or from Lutheranism to Presbyterianism, that number goes up even more. We find that about 44% of the public has a religious faith today that's different than the one in which they were raised.
Now, do you know why there is so much movement? What people are leaving for? What they're looking for?
It's tough to say exactly why. I can say that one of the other of the key findings of the survey that might speak to that, it relates to the enormous diversity of religion in the United States. Quite simply, there are lots and lots, literally hundreds of different religious groups represented just in our survey alone. So people have an awful lot of choices, an awful lot of options available to them, and the frequency with which we see these changes taking place suggests that they're ready, willing, and able to exercise those options.
A religious marketplace, if you will?
I think our survey certainly confirms the aptness of that analogy. It is a very religious marketplace.
And when you look at various racial or ethnic or even religious groups in the country, do you see some people more willing to leave the faith of their childhood than other groups? If you're looking at, you know, white Americans or Black Americans, Latinos, Asians, what do you see?
Well, we did look at whether or not there are any important demographic correlates of this willingness to switch religions. We didn't see a whole lot that jumped out at us with respect to race and ethnicity, although we did find that Latinos are a little bit less likely than other groups to have changed affiliation. Mm. I'll tell you, one of the interesting findings that did jump out at us, though, concerned members of different age groups. If you look at young people overall are about equally as likely as their older counterparts, say people over the age of 70, to report having changed affiliation between childhood and adulthood. But the kind of change that young people are experiencing compared with their older counterparts is quite different. Most young people, people under 30, who have changed religious affiliations have moved across traditions altogether. They were Protestant and they became Catholic, or they were Catholic and they became unaffiliated. If you look at older people, on the other hand, they're about equally as likely to have changed, but they're much more likely to have changed within a tradition, that is to say, from one Protestant denominational family to another, rather than across tradition.
Let's talk about this unaffiliated, and you found 16.1% of the population is unaffiliated, and interesting that the makeup, small amount are atheists, small amount are agnostics, the large amount describe themselves as nothing in particular. Does that mean that they are a religious, or it just isn't a part of their life, or how do you understand that?
It doesn't mean that they're a-religious. One of the interesting findings from the survey, I think, is the documentation that this unaffiliated group, people who aren't affiliated with any particular religion, is quite diverse, just like all of the religious groups are quite diverse. You're right to point out that a relatively small proportion of the unaffiliated are atheists or agnostics. But the rest of that group is people who just say, I have no particular religion. If you look at that group, though, you can divide it about evenly, yes, right in half. There are some people who say that religion really isn't all that important to me. Those people really aren't particularly religiously inclined. But the other half of that group consists of people who do say that religion is at least somewhat important in their lives. So these are people, even though they're not associated with any formal religious group, they are in fact religiously or spiritually inclined, at least to some degree.
Do you think that means that they are searching for the right religion, or they think of themselves in religious or spiritual terms and just have figured out how to worship their own way?
Well, it could be either one of those. One of the things that we hope to do in the future is to replicate this survey, and when we do that, we'll be able to take a look at these groups and see whether or not they're moving, and if they're moving, in what direction. And that might give us a sense of whether or not this being unaffiliated is still religious is a temporary manifestation of a search that comes to a conclusion, or if it's a more permanent status.
And as you look at this unaffiliated, they tend to be more male and under the age of 50?
That's exactly right. The unaffiliated group is more male, and men are also more likely than women to be unaffiliated. Mm. And we also find that young people are much more likely, again, than their older counterparts, to say they're unaffiliated. About a quarter of everyone under 30 in the United States says that they are unaffiliated with any particular religion.
And they tend to live out west, right?
They do. The West has, they are found all over the country, but it is true that the West has the highest concentration of people who are unaffiliated.
Well, let's get some callers in the conversation, because I'm interested in hearing how people are reacting to some of the findings from this study. And we're talking with Greg Smith. He's a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. And they released a report earlier this week, and he's one of the principal authors of the Forum's latest U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, and we are talking about some of the findings in this report and some open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And one of the findings from the report is just that there's a lot of fluidity and dynamism and movement of people from one religion to another, or even out of religion entirely. Let me get Michael from Browns Mills to join us. Michael, go ahead, your radio times.
Morning.
Good morning.
I was baptized a Catholic as a baby, raised as a Catholic, and at about the age of 44, I became a Unitarian. I always felt that the Catholic religion or the Catholic Church rejected me, because I was never a non-practicing Catholic, but I felt they rejected me, and I felt that they kicked me out because I was a gay man. And went to the Unitarian because they did accept gay people. And after a few years, was able to find and at that point, the Unitarians really were about the only group that did accept gay people. After a few years, I was able to find a open Episcopal church. And because of its similarities to Catholicism, I still missed the liturgy, the mass, the customs. I converted officially to an Episcopalian, and now for about 10 years, I'm officially practicing and very involved in Episcopalian.
Well, Michael, your movement through religions is an interesting one. Let me see what Greg Smith has to say in comment. I mean, he's sounds like a living example of this particular study.
Right. Well, I'd have two reactions to that. One is that as a former Catholic, the caller certainly isn't alone. We do find that the Catholic Church, more than any other religious group, has lost the most members in this process of religious change. About one-third of the U.S. population was raised Catholic, but only just less than a quarter of the population today describes themselves as Catholic. And in total, what that means is that about 1 in 10 Americans are former Catholics, people who were raised Catholic but are no longer Catholic. My other thought would be that one of the I think that this helps illustrate the dynamism of religion in the United States even more than our numbers can for this reason. The caller indicated having experienced multiple religious changes.
That's right.
From Catholicism to Unitarianism to being an Episcopalian. Our survey really only picks up on one religious change. What we know is whether or not people have the same religion today as they did when they were children. And so to the degree to which people experience multiple changes, or to the degree to which they leave their childhood faith and then return to it, these numbers may even be conservative estimates of the amount of religious movement that goes on in the United States.
In this religious marketplace that we've been talking about. Just picking up, though, on this survey, as it looks at Catholicism, as you said, many native-born Catholics leaving the religion, but those numbers, it looks like, are essentially made up by the number of Catholic immigrants coming into the country.
That's right. The story in this survey with respect to Catholicism is really fascinating. As I mentioned, the Catholic Church has lost more members in total through religious change, and you'd think that what that would mean is that if you look back over time, the proportion of the public that's Catholic, you would expect, would have declined. But in fact, what we see is that the proportion of the public that's Catholic has been very steady in recent decades at right about 25%. And the reason for that is that Catholic immigrants coming to the United States are offsetting the number of people who are leaving the church.
Hmm.
Almost half of all immigrants to the U.S. are Catholics, and that's a number that's more than twice as high as we see among the native-born population.
We have about a minute before our first break here. This is looking at American Protestantism. In the 1970s, Protestants made up about two-thirds of the population. According to this new study, 51% of the population is Protestant, and it sounds like from your reporting, as time goes on, it will become a minority religion, or at least less than 50%?
Well, if the current trends hold up, that may well happen. We find that, as you mentioned, barely half of the country is Protestant today, and that's certainly a change from years past and probably the entire nation's history.
It's offset by, I guess, Catholicism, but then these other religions, and then also this unaffiliated group?
That's right. Over the past few decades, as the number of Protestants or the proportion of Protestants has been declining, the group that's really been gaining is the unaffiliated population.
Can you stay with us for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
That's great. And Greg Smith is a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, and he's one of the principal authors of the Forum's latest U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, and it was released earlier this week. We've got a full bank of calls here, as we predicted. People do want to talk about religion, and there are more things from the survey that I want to talk about as well. So stay with us. We'll take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation and get some more callers in on the conversation. And as soon as someone hangs up, you can call 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rowan University supports WHYY. Located in southern New Jersey, Rowan provides students the resources of a large university with the small class size of a college. Along with their undergraduate and graduate degrees, Rowan now offers a doctorate in educational leadership and undergraduate degree completion at off-campus locations, and online accelerated graduate degrees and certificates. An information session is Thursday, March 13th. Details at rowan.edu/info.
I'm Terry Gross. Join me for interviews on the arts, entertainment, and the issues of the day on Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 here on WHYY 91 FM.
Pennsylvania Ballet supports WHYY and presents Messiah, March 5th through 9th at the Academy of Music. Set to Handel's 18th century score and performed with the Philadelphia Cantorai, Messiah opens with a full choir on stage in the skeletal abstraction of a church. The Hallelujah Chorus is portrayed visually with choreography by Robert Weiss. For tickets, 215-893-1999 or on the web at paballet.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life interviewed some 35,000 adults to create a picture of the country's religious landscape. They just released their report and found a diversity of religious affiliation and a fluidity of faith. And that's what we're talking about with our guest, Greg Smith. And he's one of the principal authors of this survey that was just released. Let me go back to a couple of other findings here. Looking at evangelicals or even the more conservative wing of the Christian religion, what do you find as you look at people's religious affiliations?
Well, we find that members of evangelical churches, if you combine them together, they really form the largest religious tradition, the largest single religious tradition in the United States. A little over 26% of all Americans are members of evangelical churches. Catholics are right behind them at about 24%. Members of mainline churches are the third largest tradition in the U.S. at just less than 1 in 5 Americans. And then that means that the unaffiliated population, if you include that as a religious tradition, is at this point the fourth largest religious tradition in the U.S.
Now, when you look at religious intermarriage, first of all, define how you define intermarriage in the survey, and let's talk about that.
Sure. Well, what we did, obviously, is we asked people a detailed series of questions about their current affiliation. And then what we did to look at both religious change but also intermarriage is we asked a parallel series of questions about people's childhood religion and about the religion of their spouse. And what we find is that if you look at married people in the U.S. and you look, again, just at marriages across traditions, Protestants who are married to Catholics or Catholics who are married to the unaffiliated, a little more than a quarter of all married people are in religiously mixed marriages. And then again, if you include marriages across Protestant denominational families, Presbyterians who are married to Methodists, that number goes up to just less than 4 in 10 of all married couples who are in religiously mixed marriages.
And again, did that finding surprise you at all, or does it look like a trend that's been around for a while?
Well, I think we've always known that there's lots of intermarriage in the United States, but the thing that was striking to us was to be able to put some hard numbers to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the large numbers of religiously mixed marriages combined with the fluidity that we see of in affiliation speaks to the openness that many Americans have about their own affiliation and that of their immediate family members.
What I found really interesting that it's the Hindus in the United States that have the most postgraduate degrees followed by Jews.
Right, that was quite striking to us. One of the unique features of this survey is that we have lots of interviews. We talked to a representative sample of more than 35,000 Americans. And what that allows us to do is to take a detailed look at even the smallest religious groups in the population. We estimate that Hindus account for roughly 0.5% of the U.S. population. So most surveys, you can't really look at Hindus and get a sense of their experiences and views and characteristics. But here we can, and you're right, one of the most striking findings with respect to Hindus is that they're extremely well-educated. Nearly half have obtained postgraduate education over and above a college degree.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation, and we've got Ruth from Kimberton joining us. Ruth, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just recently went through a whole search for a church where I went to every church and synagogue I could find in the Judeo-Christian for over a year. I'm the daughter of 3 generations of ministers, and I really wanted to just explore everything. And one of the things that was so surprising and kind of shocking to me was that, you know, women really are still sitting in the back of the bus when it comes to most churches. You know, between a lot of the evangelical churches and the Catholic church, you know, women are not allowed to stand in the pulpit and preach and lead the church. And I ultimately did choose a church that had a wonderful woman minister along with a male minister. But I was just really surprised at that in 2008, you know, that women still seem to me to be silenced in the church, and I wondered if your guests had any thoughts about that.
Sure, and Ruth, I'm just curious, where did you end up going then?
I go to a Methodist church.
And it has both a male and a female minister?
It does, yes.
It does. Well, Greg Smith, what do you think about Ruth, as she says, search for a church?
Well, I'd have, I think, again, two reactions. One is to point out that one of the interesting patterns that we find with respect to gender and religious involvement is that women, I think you might have touched on this earlier, are actually substantially more likely than men to be affiliated with a religious group. And that's particularly true within many of the Christian traditions. Members of women are more likely to be members of these Christian groups than are men, and vice versa. Women tend to outnumber men within many of the Christian traditions. I think the other thing I'd point out is that the remarkable fluidity that we see in American religion speaks both to risks, but also opportunities that various churches face. With Americans apparently so willing to switch affiliations, I don't think that churches and religious organizations can afford to sit on their laurels, so to speak, because people are willing to leave. On the other hand, it also says that there are opportunities to churches to reach out to people who do seem open to new ideas and new religious faith.
Do you think churches, synagogues, mosques, do you think that they're aware of this fluidity that we've been talking about?
Well, again, I have a feeling that many people have probably been aware. Many people probably know, have either experienced religious change themselves, or certainly know people or have family members who have gone through it. So I think people have been broadly aware that this goes on. But I think the thing that jumps out of this survey are the hard numbers that really document the high levels of this that go on.
Ruth, thanks for the call. Let's take one more call, and then we're going to have to say goodbye to you, Greg Smith. We've got Andrea from Bucks County joining us. Andrea, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, thanks there for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just curious to find out if during the course of this study there was any information on any of the neo-pagan movement in the country, because the correlation that you see from a lot of the movement away from the Christianity or the monotheism, myself included, faith, I came from the Jewish faith, is we tend to see a rise in our numbers, even though there's no real church so much, but there tends to be an affiliation, a gathering, and an eagerness to learn.
Well, Andrea, I'm looking at this survey. Let me see what Greg Smith says.
Well, we certainly did encounter many, many members of what we called New Age faiths. We found that about a little less than 0.5% of the public said that they associate themselves with a New Age faith, and within that New Age family of faiths that we found that both pagans and Wiccans both account for a pretty large part of that New Age group of faith.
And are people willing to talk about their faith to, I mean, clearly 35,000 people did, but, to talk about their faith with strangers?
Well, you know, they seem to be. We found that on this survey, and also lots of the other surveys that we've done over the years, that we get very comparable response rates, very comparable levels of willingness to participate as lots of other organizations find when they do surveys that aren't about religion. So yes, I do think that people are willing to talk about these things.
And this is, I guess, the first of its kind, right? So I'm assuming you're going to come back and in some years hence and look at how these numbers may change or not?
Absolutely. We intend to update this survey over the years to keep a close eye on trends in American religion and public life, and we also intend to release subsequent reports based on these data. This is just the first of several reports that we'll be releasing over the coming months.
Well, I appreciate you joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And that's Greg Smith. He's a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, one of the principal authors of the Forum's latest U.S. Religious Landscape Survey. And that's what we're talking about today on Radio Times. And just a quick recap here, and we do want to hear from our listeners. They found that, yes, indeed, the United States is a religious country, about 80% of the country calling themselves Christians, about 5% of the country calling themselves either or following Judaism or Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, and as we heard from Andrea, there are also others that are following quote-unquote New Age religions. This report found that there's a great deal of movement and fluidity between religions and out of religion, and that's what we're talking about today on Radio Times. Interesting to find out whether your religious beliefs have changed or affiliations have changed or not, and you can give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me see what Margaret Margaret from Westchester has to say. Margaret, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. I was just wanted to give a comment. I'm 40 years old. I had three children, and I was raised Catholic. However, I switched to just a non-denominational, I didn't formally switch, but just switched to a non-denominational Bible class, which was more interesting for my children who hated going to Catholic Church.
Oh, really?
And directed them through a better way of life. And I know with my friends who have switched from Catholicism to other religions, one of the main reasons was due to the abuse, hidden scandals that went on in the church, and they didn't really acknowledge it as they should have. And I'm relating back to the first caller who said he didn't feel accepted. It's funny he didn't feel accepted when the same thing was going on in the Catholic Church. But I just wanted to give that comment out, and I wanted some thoughts and feedback on that, if you would.
Sure. And Margaret, interestingly, I mean, you left the church, as you said, for the reasons that you stated, but what are you finding in your Bible class?
Well, I find that it gets you, it teaches you how everyday life, it teaches you more about God, and Catholic is more rules. You have a rule that you have to go to confession. You have a rule that you have to be confirmed. You have a rule that you need to be baptized, and that's supposed to wash away your sins. And it doesn't say any of that in the Bible. The Bible's supposed to be the word of the God, and that's what he says is the way it should be. And if you read the Bible, which I never did as a child, I just started later in life, you'll see that many things that are in the Bible are not the same things that Catholic religion teaches. Fasting is one of them. You're not supposed to call anybody a father or but there's only one father. There's several things.
That's
I'm not educated enough to go into detail, but there are lots of things. And it also honestly helps me to teach my children why. Well, why don't you lie and why don't you steal and why am I supposed to be happy every day? Or why? Because you just want to have a good life. It teaches you how to get through your life, how to get through dilemmas in life. It doesn't teach you that you have to sit in a box and confess your sins to God or several different things.
Sure, I hear you. And interestingly, I appreciate the call, Margaret,
is that you
represent in this study, and I realize that there are people that are part of this study, is that looking at people that have migrated from one faith to the other, when you look at Catholics born in this country, that it was Catholicism that experienced the greatest loss, as our guest said, made up by Catholic immigrants who have come to the country. But I think you probably do represent an interesting trend, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me get Derek from Westchester to join us. Hi, Derek. Go ahead, your Radio Times.
Oh, that's Stu from Westchester already.
Yes, it is.
Why,
it's okay.
I wanted to say that I was brought up strict agnostic. That is to say, they wouldn't even let me go to my friend's Sunday school drive or whatever.
That's interesting.
But yes, and then thanks to friends and teachers telling me about religion, I became a Protestant, I guess you would say, in college. And for several years, I've been choir director and sometimes organist as well at various Protestant churches, usually Baptist, because my grandfather was a Baptist minister. My thought was whether the fact that there's so much more communication in the world these days through the web and through radio programs, but now I see on cable TV lots of religious broadcasting, and of course a whole division of Christian music of all kinds, religious music of all kinds, and I just wondered if that would affect possibility the country would become maybe more religious finally instead of less.
Well, and just looking at this survey, which talked to some 35,000 Americans, and you, as you said, raised atheist or agnostic, and found yourself in looking for a particular religion. Although interestingly, there's migration all over the place. You represent one form of migration.
Yeah.
I don't know if the country's getting more religious because we got, according to the survey, 16% of the country that is unaffiliated, and by that they are atheists, they're agnostic, or they are quote unquote nothing in particular, meaning they're either searching or they just don't even think about religion at all. So you're part of an interesting trend, and I appreciate the call, Derek, to Radio Times.
Sure.
Bye bye. Let me get Christy from Wallingford to join us. Christy, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks
there.
For taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience. I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school for 12 years, and now I have coined a term for myself, my beliefs, which are, I'm a hopeful agnostic.
Now, what does that mean?
It means that I consider myself to be vaguely spiritual. I don't have a really firm set of beliefs, but I like to think that there's something more than just what we experience during our life, whether that be, I don't know whether that's reincarnation, whether it's heaven, whether it's, you know, kind of a more Buddhist, you join the universe with your energy or what, but I just hope that there is something more. But I also wanted to share, I've got friends and family members who are born-again Christian, and I thought that one cultural observation that I made that was interesting is they don't consider Catholics to be Christian. And when I asked them why, they said, well, I've never heard a Catholic talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to say, and I think it's more of a misunderstanding of the culture of different religions, because in Catholicism, you don't wear your religion on your sleeve. You don't really talk about, someone might have a personal relationship, but it just kind of is a little bit taboo to talk
sure.
about that sort of thing.
Well, this new study says under Christianity includes Protestantism, Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and then other very tiny amount of other Christian churches or Christian beliefs. So this study would agree with you. I have a quick question to you, though, Christy. As you say, you're a hopeful... Sure. Would you say hopeful agnostic?
Correct.
So do you have rituals for yourself, or is just something that you, it's like your conversation that you have with yourself about spiritual ideas?
I guess it would be more of the latter. I am constantly sort of self-exploring what my spiritual ideas are and what I think makes sense to me. I'm not a real big prayer, but I do sometimes, a lot of times I just kind of feel like, you know, if there is a greater being, it's got more important things to worry about than my little concerns, you know.
Now, do you share this with other people, or is this a more private thing for you?
You know, I am not one of those people who thinks that talking about spirituality and religion is taboo, but I know that not many people are comfortable having those conversations, so I don't bring it up a lot, but if it comes up, I'm not afraid to talk about it.
Well, I appreciate you talking about it on Radio Times.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Christy. We're going to take a very short break, and we'll get back to our conversation, and we're doing our own very informal and unscientific response to a survey from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. They interviewed some 35,000 adults to try to understand the country's religious landscape. They found a number of things, including the fact that this is a country of many religions. There's a diversity of religious affiliation, a lot of fluidity of faith, and by that they mean many people essentially shopping around looking for a religion, a faith, a church, a mosque, a synagogue, where they feel comfortable. We're interested in your experience of all of that. Do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, USP's undergraduate biology program, educating students in all aspects of living organisms, from their molecular structure to the ecosystems in which they live. USP's location in Philadelphia promotes opportunities for internships and collaboration with universities and professionals from life science, biotechnology, and pharmaceutical corporations. Further details at www.usp.edu/biology.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. What are the odds makers saying? Gamblers are betting on who will be the next president. Also, we'll deconstruct Johnny Mercer's dark salute to barrooms drinking again. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Penswood Village, a retirement community in Newtown, supports WHYY. Guided by Quaker principles, Penswood welcomes people over 65 of all races, religions, national origins, and sexual orientation. On 82 acres in Bucks County with garden apartment living for 450 residents, Penswood welcomes applications for future residency. Small enough to become involved, big enough to choose an array of activities and friends. 888-454-1122 or penswood.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, asking some questions that come out of this new study from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. If you are a person of faith, do you still follow the religion of your childhood? If you have left your religion, where did you go and why did you leave? If you're part of an interreligious relationship, and some 30% of the people in this country who are married have a spouse of a different religious affiliation, how is that going? Also, a couple of interesting factoids. Hindus and Jews are the most highly educated of the religious groups here in the United States, and Mormons and Muslims have the largest families. Let me get Brad from Willow Grove to join us. Brad, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I wanted to say, I was listening to your program, I was brought up a relatively hardcore born-again Christian. Around fourth grade was when I made my official conversion. And then as I was growing up into high school and especially in college, I began doubting the faith and everything, and college provided a relatively liberal atmosphere for this. And I guess what I would have to say today, interesting progression between your previous callers,
sure,
that I would be an atheist-leaning agnostic.
As opposed to the hopeful agnostic we had before the break.
Yes, yes, I believe that was Christy. Because I would have to say I'm an atheist-leaning agnostic, because if I would have to put a bet right now, I would have to say that I'd put my bet on atheism, but I have to still call myself an agnostic because I still do attempt prayer, because I could very well be wrong, and I believe I'm pretty certain that at least 90% of the population on this planet has to be wrong, because most religions don't actually allow for other religions to be right at the same time.
So you hedging your bets there, Brad?
That's not really what I'm not taking that as a strategy. I really think that, I mean, if you look at it, people, you've heard all of the listeners that are calling in.
Sure.
There's more people waiting on the line. There's people that are listening right now, and religion has a very big purpose in their lives. But many people have changed religions. They looked deep inside their hearts, and they searched for it, and many of them came up with completely different reasons. And if we're going to have, if there is really a creator and a one God that wants you to be the way that he wants you to be, all of these decent people would inevitably, I think, come to relatively the same conclusion if they really are honestly searching their hearts, and I really do believe they are.
Well, yeah, and I would agree, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I mean, I think many people, whatever they call it, there is searching going on, and I think the atheist, agnostic, or agnostic atheist that you are, that searching is still part of that belief system as well. Brad, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let's see what David from Northeast Philadelphia has to say. David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm good.
My story is basically something of the other caller just called. I used to be a Christian. I was baptized in Pleasant View Baptist Church in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doubting Christianity. I didn't think that the Bible was fulfilling for me, and I was leaning toward atheism. And then after a while, I started hearing about the Hebrew Israelites. I see them evangelizing in Center City in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen them as well.
Yeah, and it was very interesting. But at the same time, they had this certain energy about them, was predominantly black. They affiliated black people that were in the slave Atlantic trade, getting sent to the Western Hemisphere. They affiliated them as being the true Hebrewites of the Bible, and that they were a part of the 12 tribes of Israel, and some indigenous tribes such as Puerto Rico and surrounding islands, Cuba, Dominican Republic, and so on and so forth.
Is that your religion, so to speak, David?
I'm practicing it now.
Oh, you are? Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. So from Christianity to doubting to this...
Hebrew, Israelite, and it made me actually look at the Bible in a different way. It holds a certain substance that I had never really thought and never really seen before.
Well, interesting. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. It's just one of the many stories of people searching in this country. David, thanks for the call to Radio Times.
You're welcome.
And we've got Lucille now from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Lucille. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I was brought up as a Catholic. My family is still Catholic. And I always say I'm a Catholic when I'm asked in a survey or whatever. But in reality, I don't believe in the Catholic religion. I think that the Bible is a book of stories and parables. And I think Jesus was just a person. I tend to be more kind of a combination Buddhist, Native American, spiritualist, whatever. I sort of don't have an organized religion that I believe in.
And I think we lost Lucille.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. There's a lot of background noise. Just a quick question to you, Lucille. Why do you still say you're a Catholic if you're not a Catholic?
I don't know. I think part of the reason is I like to answer surveys as a Catholic and give answers that wouldn't be traditionally a Catholic's answer. So I'll say, yes, I'm pro-choice, but I'm a Catholic. So, maybe skew the results of the survey a little bit.
Oh, you are a troublemaker, Lucille. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go only because there's a lot of ambient noise, as we say, on radio, on your phone call. Appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let's go to Willingboro, New Jersey. We've got Dan waiting to join us. Hi, Dan. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Marty, and thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I was brought up as a Protestant, and mainly because of my father being in the military at the time. And around the age of 21, when I went into the military myself, I married a girl whose mother was Japanese. I then became a Buddhist. Notrin Shushan was the sect of Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually stayed in that for quite some time to gather some understanding as I was searching for different types of religions to see which one fit my mold in life. I ultimately left there and met someone who brought me back into Christianity, brought me back into understanding Jesus and the whole Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that I took really well, because what it did for me at the time and what brought me back was I looked at it as a way of life, not as a religion. And I know that most everything that we're talking about today are different types of religions. They're man-made, some of them, and they have the same contents in them that any other religion would have around the world. But the main thing is I found a peace because it was a way of life, and I followed that, and I've taught my children, and now I have 6 grandkids, and they're all being taught the same way, and they have the opportunity to go out and look for themselves. They also know about their grandmother being Japanese. She speaks to them, but funny thing, my grandmother has become a born-again Christian now, and she's a full Japanese lady.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Dan, I think you're another example of just this searching that is going on and this fluidity that this Pew survey discovered in the United States. Thanks for calling into Radio Times.
You're quite welcome, Marty. Thank you. And thank you again for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let me see what Nikki from North Philadelphia has to say. Nikki, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a 26-year-old seminarian in training to be a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a definitely compassionate leanings towards the agnostic atheist, as I was raised in a pretty strong agnostic home where when I became a born-again Christian when I was like 16.
Wow.
And really just was faced a lot of sort of like ridicule from my own parents because of that, which is kind of a different story because they were raised Catholic, so then they came from a background where they just really had a lot of pain and hurt from their experience in that. And so I just wanted to call in just because I did become born again when I was 16 in sort of an experiential sort of way. And through the years, kind of became built up in my faith through the tradition and sort of historical evidence for a risen Jesus Christ. And now, so I find myself in seminary a few years into theological studies formally.
With the idea, obviously, of preaching and becoming a minister. And what religion or what denomination are we talking about here, Nikki?
I'm part of the Brethren in Christ, which is an offshoot of the Mennonite Church.
And how many more years till you're done seminary school?
I have 2 years left.
And then looking for a parish somewhere?
I think I want to go into a public chaplaincy, an institutional chaplaincy for like a hospice or hospital type setting.
And your agnostic families, they're okay with this now?
You know, they give me a hard time about it. I think they kind of accept me, especially if I go into like a public setting. They like the idea of just being available to help people, whether or not it's whether or not I have to try to talk them into being a Christian or not, just kind of being available for some sort of support when people are going through hard times.
Well, Nikki, I appreciate the call.
Thanks for taking it.
You're welcome. We've got another caller from North Philadelphia. This is Megan. Hi, Megan. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say that from listening from a lot of the phone calls that I've been hearing, I'm not seeing a trend towards religion or away from religion necessarily as much as I see a trend of like a rebellion against maybe how you were raised in your childhood.
You notice that as well, right?
Yeah, I think that my family is a really good example of that. My father was raised Catholic. He went to church, you know, twice a week with his entire family. And right now, you couldn't get him into a church if you tried.
Is that right?
And my mother was raised, you know, atheist by two Jewish parents who had basically abandoned the faith. And she used to sleep over friends' houses on Saturday nights so that she could go to church with them in the morning.
Where does that leave you, Megan?
Well, I was raised, so it was technically an interfaith family since my father was, you know, Catholic and my mother was Jewish. And I was raised with nothing whatsoever. And in turn, I tend to crave some kind of spirituality. Although sometimes I do wonder, since I wasn't raised in it, if I could ever really believe.
Oh, that's interesting. So do you find yourself just shopping around or thinking?
Well, I was a religion minor in college, and I find it fascinating. But that fascination isn't the same as faith. Right. And so, you know, at times I wonder if I could ever truly have a blind faith in a religion since, you know, I've only learned about it academically and never been raised in it.
Well, there are many kinds of faith, not just blind faith.
Right.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, thanks.
And good luck to you as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let me get to Tom from Yardley to join us. Hi, Tom. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. I talked to you a couple weeks ago. You had another show about religion and interfaith stuff, so I want to thank you for taking my call again.
Sure, no problem.
I guess I'm an atheist, and I'm actually a biology major.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I study evolution a lot. And my father is very religious. He's a deacon in the Presbyterian Church. My mother's an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And my father also studied science, and he was an atheist for a while, and he returned to religion. And I find myself, although a very, I guess you could almost say devout atheist, if that is such a thing, I have a real craving for ritual and a need for, I read a lot of mythology, I'm really into religion, I read the Bible a lot, just, you know, because I find it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those two things necessarily conflict. I think it's interesting to see that people, you know, I wonder how my father came back to religion. And for him, he said it was a personal experience. And although I'm not religious at all, I do feel a need for that kind of thing in my life, even though I don't believe it. And I think it would be interesting to know more about how people come back to religion, but I think it's a weird trend. You see a lot of people sort of probably go away from it and seem to come back to it as they get older.
Well, and I think that's interesting, and sometimes you hear from people, it's when they have kids and they feel like they want to connect their kids to something that they grew up with, and for a period of their life they'll go to church or mosque or synagogue, and then sometimes the searching continues after that. You know, Tom, I appreciate your call to Radio Times. I want to squeeze in at least one or two other callers before we have to end the show. Thanks for calling. And we have Imre from Center City, Philadelphia. Imre, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Hi. I did want to say that I think this survey might be a little bit inaccurate. I'm going to say that there's a lot more atheists than is being shown in the numbers, and I can tell you why.
I was going to say, tell me why.
Well, first of all the unaffiliated people, mm-hmm. they're all atheists. They just don't realize it.
Well, I, before you get too far into this, I'm looking at the numbers. They have here 16% unaffiliated, atheist 1.6%, agnostic 2.4%, nothing in particular 12%. And then they break that down into people that just don't care about religion and those.
Right, they're atheists. Yeah, there's a misconception about what atheists are. A lot of people are talking about they're still searching, that sort of thing, I'm agnostic, you know. That's atheism, too. Atheism is not a worldview. It's just I don't subscribe to any of the gods that have been presented to me as you know, the god.
But I would argue that there are people that they're not even at that point. They may not even be thinking about it, or if they are, they're still searching around.
By default. And I think people stay away from that term because it's been demonized for so long. You know, you're seen as ungodly, you know, you're seen as, you know, all those things that have been associated with atheism.
Although, interestingly, look at how many books about atheism have been on the bestseller list.
Yes, and that would lead me to the next point, is I think there's
Well, you better make it snap because we got about...
Okay. Well, the other reason is I think a lot of people, when they get a phone call about a survey or something like that, they're going to tend to claim their faith rather than their uncertainty, because it could be God calling.
They could be God calling?
Yeah. You know, just by, you know, a lot of people have said they sort of subscribe to Pascal's wager, which is you might as well believe in it just in case it's true.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a fair amount of that around as well. But Imre, you know what? We're going to end on your call.
Okay, thanks.
And thanks for calling into Bye. Radio Times. Interesting cross-section of opinion. That's what we enjoy today on Radio Times. And earlier in the hour, our guest was Greg Smith. He's a research fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. And we were talking about, with him and also with our listeners, this latest U.S. Religious Landscape Survey. And you can probably check that out online as well. Well, that's it for today's edition of Radio Times. Jonathan Best is the intern for the program. Devorah Lissick, Alan Tu, Susan Greenbaum produce Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. Find out more about the program. Leave us an email, and you can also find out about podcasts as well, and many years that we've got to archive there as well. Scotty Williams, the engineer for today's edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining us, and you're listening to WHYY FM Philadelphia, your member supported news and information station serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.